and I'm not God. That's mixed seed, because you're saying you know God can heal you and you're speaking the word. Instead, you're then honoring the devil with his. See, the devil comes in and hides tares among the wheat.
Yes, he does.
Do you know what a tare is? A tare is a plant that grows up without seed. It is a weed that does not have any barley or wheat seed to it, but it looks exactly like the plant until it comes to the time for the wheat or the barley to have its head, the grain. You can't tell the difference between the two until it comes to harvest time. How many people of faith in a church are actually tares in the body? Tares, T-A-R-E-S. A tear, meaning you don't have any fruit. You're taking up space. You will never grow into a fruit-producing person because that's not in your genetics. You were not born of Christ. You're just growing in the same spot somebody else could be taking up. But on the same fact, how many times do we speak the word of God 1 second and in the same prayer turn around and change it by sowing doubt? Father, I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I know that by his stripes I'm healed. But God, somebody's got to tell that doctor, because he tells me I've got this and I've got that. We do it. We do it without thinking, because we've got to take those thoughts captive. We've got to be true to the word and hold fast, because there's nothing doubting. If you make that declaration, Lord, this is what your word says, and the angels are going to do it, do you want to say something that makes them sit down? They can't go and finish it? We've been praying for Kelsey's internship. Last night, Kathy and I thanked God that the internship's on its way. Because it's coming. In God's mind, it's already done. Because he says he knows what she has need of. And he supplies all of her needs in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That needs being supplied. You've taken care of it. And so we're waiting and thanking him for the answer that's happened in the spirit. It hasn't got here in the physical. Amen? James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. That right there is a faith-packed message that you ask and he gives.
Yeah.
But it goes on, only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts is like the billowing surge out of a sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine he will receive anything he asks from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he's unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Ouch. Why does the church not see its prayers answered? Why does the church not see things happen? Why do individuals in the church live a life of brokenness when God says, I came to preach liberty to the captives, to set free, to bind up the brokenhearted? Why does the church have so much destruction in their lives? It's because of doubt. Think of faith talk of the word of God as one seed and doubt as another. If you go out to your garden and you sow seed and then you come back and say, did I put flowers there or did I put vegetables there? I don't remember. I think maybe I put them over on this side. So I'm going to go throw some other stuff out there. And then a couple days later you said, you know, this ground looks good over here. I've watered it. It's nice. It's dark. It's Did I plant something here? So you go and start poking holes and putting corn down in the holes, covering it up. When it comes time for harvest, when it comes time to grow up, you're going to see some flowers coming up. You're going to see some other stuff coming up. You're going to see some corn coming up. The problem is that once the corn grows up so high, it's blocking out the sunlight that the other things need, and they start withering and dying. They're not getting the sun, or it's taking the nutrients, and you've got a hodgepodge. You may lose the whole crop because you didn't sow the same seed. If you want to sow doubt, don't say you're a believer. If you want to speak doubt and unbelief, don't say you're a believer, because now you're a liar. If you want to see your prayers answered, take captive all those thoughts that come in that tells you, but you don't need to pray that way, or you shouldn't be doing that, or you still got this, or yeah, but you got that pain there. When you say, I am healed, it's not saying that you don't have symptoms. You're declaring what the word says.
Amen.
I'm healed. And the symptoms, if you go and say, yeah, well, I got this pain back here and it won't go away. I wonder if it's this or I wonder if it's that. You know, my dad had this or my uncle had that or my sister had this and they had that similar pain. Maybe I need to go to the doctor. Maybe I need to bypass the doctor and go straight to a specialist. You think I need to go to the emergency room? And you just kind of start spinning all that and you keep saying it and you just keep throwing different seed down on that same ground. But if you say, Lord, I thank you that no matter what this body is starting to have and whatever the doctors are trying to say or whatever it looks like from the past, I know that I'm healed because Jesus bore the stripes to the cross. He became sin for me. He took away all of my diseases.
Yes.
And I am healed in Jesus' name. And you stand on that. And guess what? The angels stand up, heed the word, and go perform it. Amen, amen. Failure to believe is called doubt. Believing prayer sees results. Failure to believe or doubt stops the results. I've said before, what if the angel was just ready to bring the answer? What if those people that were fervently praying for Peter said, well, it's about midnight, and I guess we can't do anything else, so we just have to put Peter in God's hands, and if this is his time to send him home, then so be it. Everybody go on home. Go to your homes. We'll pick up tomorrow after you've had breakfast. The angel might have been just ready to kick or nudge Peter in the side when the devil comes and goes, stop, you can't do anything about this now. They're doubting, but they're the ones that prayed. They're the ones the Father sent me. But they're doubting. They've changed their mind. They're not believing anymore. See, they were fervently praying and believing right up to the point he knocked on the door, and then they didn't believe the answer was there. They're still in there saying, I don't know who's bothering us. We got a prayer meeting going on. Rhoda, leave us alone. You're crazy. We're still praying for him to get out of here. Aren't you listening to what we're praying about? Get with it, girl. But God had already heard their prayer. Just they didn't believe enough that the answer was going to happen as soon as it did. Matthew 18, verses 18 and 19 says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Speaking the things of the word of God are permitted from heaven because it's God's word. This is a verse that said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound from heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed from heaven. Meaning it starts and has its genesis, its start, its beginning in heaven. We're not speaking things into existence that didn't happen and isn't in God's plan. If you're speaking the word of God, you're speaking things that are not as though they are. Someone can be laying on their deathbed and they are racked with pain, and they hear about God's healing power, and they go, I want that. And you pray for them to be healed and declare healing over them. Healing was already paid for. It's allowed. It's allowed. They can get up off that deathbed and walk away. You say, well, yeah, but what? Lazarus was 4 days in the grave and he got up. And Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. He hadn't had the stripes applied yet. And if he can be raised from the dead before Christ died on the cross and before he had the stripes laid on his back for healing, how much more after? Yes. Are you believing? Are we believing? When we go into this situation, we're saying, well, they're about half gone, so I'll only pray for a safe, quick going home. Now, you can't pray for someone to stay here that doesn't believe themselves or isn't wanting to stay themselves. But you can pray for God to increase their faith. Matthew, the other part of Matthew 18 and 19 says, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. But what if I'm alone and I'm the only one there and I'm praying by myself? I got to find somebody to agree with me? I've got a question for you. Who wrote this word? The Father, through the Holy Spirit, inspired holy men of God to write this down. His word, it's alive. So if you're praying God's word, you're agreeing with him. Isn't that more than two? Elohim is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're already in agreement. You're joining your agreement with them. And so the scripture that says, if two or more on earth agree, is this word in heaven or on earth? You're speaking it on earth. You're speaking it here. You're in agreement with him. Where's God? He's omniscient. He's everywhere. You're agreeing with him. Now, if you have another person around with you and you both talk about the situation, I want to pray about this, and it's yes, the word says this, and the word says that, and the word says this. Hey, we're in agreement. Let's pray. You're praying in that agreement. Expect the answer. But if you're by yourself and you're praying the word, you're in agreement with Almighty God. Who'll stand before you? Who'll stand against you? It's God's word. Amen. Agreeing together is a method of activating your belief. When you discuss a prayer request and others understand and agree that God can and will answer according to his word, that is belief in action. Now, don't be saying, well, I think God is going to give me a ticket to get on a television show in Chicago, and I'm going to go to that television show, and every one of us in that congregation, I mean television show, is going to be, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. And I'm going to come out of there with a car. I believe God's going to do that for me. Well, do you realize when they give you the car, you owe 50% gift tax right away. So you get half a car. If you can pay for the other half, you get to take it home. Otherwise, you get to take a card home saying that you got a car. See, sometimes a gift looks good until God gives you a car and you don't even have the gift tax to pay. Maybe not, maybe they pay the sales tax. Maybe they even license it for you the first time, pay your first few months of insurance. When God gives you something, he doesn't give you something halfway. He provides the whole thing.
Yes, he does.
So do you want to be believing with somebody? You're going to get some TV tickets or a chance to go into some TV show and have somebody say, you get a car, you get a car. Oh, hey, I got a car. Or, Father, you know I need transportation to get here to there. And I know you know what I have need of, Scripture. Father, I know you say that you will meet all my needs through your riches in Christ's glory, Scripture. And Father, It happens to be a car today. It happens to be this situation today that I need. And Father, I'm standing on this word, and my friend here is in agreement with me. And we're standing on those words, your word of God. You cannot lie. You said you'd meet this need. Guess what? Expect the car.
Yes.
Some friends of ours, they were praying for transportation. Their car was broken down. It would get them places. They had to keep putting water in it to go a few miles and put more water in it. It took them a long time to get places because it would stop and let it cool down, and then they could go further. And they had to go to ministry and preach and sing and teach and stuff. And this was hindering them. And they kept saying, we believe God's giving us a car, giving us a vehicle. And I looked them in the eyes and said, God will give you a vehicle, and it's going to be in your driveway. You're not going to have to go after it. It's going to come to you, and they will hand you the keys. Year and a half, wasn't it, later, that person said that, somebody said, are you guys home? Yeah, I'm home. We're going to stop by for a minute. And it was like, great. We had something we were going to go do, or we really didn't want company. They pulled up in the driveway, and they handed them the keys to the car and said, God said, give you this car. Better looking than the car they had. It drives better than the car they had, and it's mechanically sound. I've seen the engine compartment. You could eat off that engine. It was that clean. God is good. When he gives you something, it's a blessing. It's not a curse. John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. Do you know how you can tell it's God's plan and God's will? Is it written here? His word is his will. If you're praying his word, then this scripture, ask anything according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. Do you know there's a difference to listening and hearing? Everybody in this room is hearing me. Even if you're asleep, you're hearing me, because there are no doors on your ears. But not everyone listens. Listening is actively taking it in and doing something with it. Anybody that's listening to this or hearing this online, have clicked on this message online, is listening to it. They are at least hearing it because it's going in their ears, if they can hear. Doesn't mean they're listening. They could be doing something else. They're still hearing it, but they're not actively engaging. Then it takes another step. It's taking the word that's being preached and mixing it with faith so that it goes in and becomes profitable to you. So there's hearing, there's listening, and there's mixing with faith so it's profitable. But see, it doesn't say that God has to mix anything with faith, because he is faith. It says he hears you and he listens to you. Amen. How many times do you feel, I just wish somebody would hear me? No, you want somebody to listen to you. You want somebody to listen to you and cognitively come back and speak back with you about what you're talking about, so you can have discussion about what's bothering you. You want them to listen to you, not just hear you. You can go talk to a plant. It'll hear you. But it's not going to talk to you. And if it does, well, we need to pray for you. God listens and he hears, and he wants to answer you. He wants you to ask. Amen? He doesn't say, no way, not a thing. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? The moment that he gave up the spirit, what happened in the temple? The veil rent, and that was signifying this side, the physical, and the Holy of Holies. It also was signifying the natural and the spiritual. Because of what he did, we can walk boldly through the veil into what God's doing and see it occur and happen in this life and not have to wait until we have a glorified body. Because of his word and him putting his action to his word out of our mouths. Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 3, says, "And when the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and make his bondservant well. And when they reached Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, 'He is worthy that you should do this for him.'" Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier who was the captain of 100 soldiers. Romans were oppressing the Jews. So he was the Jewish equivalent of the Jews and the Germans during World War II. It was like a general or captain in the German army making a request of a Jewish man to come and heal somebody. There wasn't a lot of love between the Jews and the Romans. But the elders came and said, "He is worthy that you should do this for him. For he loves our nation, and he built us our synagogue at his own expense." And Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent some friends, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not sufficiently worthy to have you come under my roof. Neither did I consider myself worthy to come to you." It wasn't that he was just sitting there all pompous and sent everybody else and didn't go. He said, "I don't feel worthy to go to him. He's a holy man of God. And I'm not worthy as a Roman centurion to go to this Jewish holy man of God and ask him something. Neither did I consider myself worthy to come to you, but just speak a word and my servant boy will be healed. For I also am a man daily subject to authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my bondservant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him. And he turned and he said to the crowd that followed him, "I tell you, not even in all Israel have I found such great faith as this." This is what the church needs to get to. That because it's said, it happens. Because it's spoken, it will occur. And not just, well, God may perchance find a way to make my cold get less and or just stop these symptoms so that I can sit here and drink chicken noodle soup or potato soup or whatever it is your mom used to feed you when you were sick. Give me another blanket and give me some more tissues. And, you know, is it healed or is it just feeling comforted that you want? Are we speaking the word and believing it according to the same faith that this centurion, this Roman soldier had for this holy man Jesus? And when the messengers who had sent returned to the house, they found the bondservant who had been ill quite well again. Yes. Jesus didn't even go and lay hands on that kid. He didn't even enter the doorway of that house. The faith of the centurion that just say the word and he'll be healed. Just speak it, Lord, and it'll happen. This next scripture Marilyn used this morning, I had to go and look at it because it sounded familiar when she started saying it. That's okay. John 4, 46 through 54. "So Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, he went away to meet him. and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people will never believe, trust, and have faith at all. The king's officer pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my child, little child is dead. And Jesus answered him, go in peace, your son will live. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. Imagine this man hurrying and scurrying to get to Jesus because time was of the essence. And then to have him say, your son is well, go on. Okay, the trip home says that he trusted in what Jesus said and started home. On the way home, his thoughts and intents were different than they were going to him. But even as he was on the road going down, his servants met him and reported saying, your son lives. So he asked them at what time he'd begun to get better. And he said, yesterday during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. The father knew it was at that very hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus. This is the second sign, wonderwork miracle, that Jesus performed after he came out of Judea into Galilee. Believe when you pray. Believe when you ask. And then believe that the answer is coming. Now we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 19, which Kathy had 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. I told you this was anointed. The whole service, all the scriptures that you guys used were in this sermon already. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 19 says, be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. When you're praying, remember that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father praying for you as well. He's saying, my daughter, Ethel, my servant, Ethel, she's going through this, Father, and she's asking for this. And she's praying the word. Here's what she's praying, Father. Father says, she's praying in faith. Father, she's praying in my name. She's praying in your name? Well, you know what that means. Yes, I've already sent the angels to start doing the will of God, doing the word, and sending the answer. Good, because I was about ready to do it, but you've already got it. This conversation happens when you're praying the word, you're praying in the name of Jesus. Jesus sits there and talks to the Father. He's the mediator. He stands between you and the Father, making intercession for you. There should be no woe is me in the church, because not only are you able to pray and ask God and come boldly before the throne of grace, going into that veil that has been rent from top to bottom, giving you bold access to the throne of grace, but Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of God the Father, is able to share exactly what you need and pray for you. How would you like to sit next to him for whatever time in eternity it takes for him to say, okay, remember when you went through this part of your life? Here's what I prayed for you. And here's what happened. Yes, and then when you went through this point in time in your life, here's what I was praying for you. Here's what I was interceding for you. You remember when that car just about hit you? I prayed for the angel to slow your car down. And I sent an angel down there to slow you down just enough. You mean that's why I was having trouble getting the car started that morning? Or that's why traffic was slow in front of me and then I finally got there and there was an accident? Yes, I just slowed things down so you wouldn't be in it. Here's how I prayed for you. And we'll sit back and go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize. Because we walk on this side of the veil. On the other side is where faith is a substance, a physical substance in God's kingdom that we activate when we stand in faith. And we activate it by standing on the word, and the word goes forth and the angels go do something for you. because they're ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. In everything, no matter what the circumstance, ask, be thankful, and believe, and you will have your prayers answered.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask you to add your blessing, your anointing to this word in our hearts and lives. And I pray that our prayer lives become more productive. The Lord, as we learn deeper how to believe, how to stand on the word, and that your angels are ready to perform and heed the word of God that we speak, that it ministers to us, and we start seeing that fruit, those results, those signs following our ministries. And Father, I just pray for each one here in Jesus' holy name. Amen.